Hey. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. Jokey joke. Dan is going to quiz Esmeralda and myself on our knowledge of board games. And more. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about the summer blockbusters of all time. We're on Rotten Tomatoes put together a list of the 75 best summer blockbusters as they're scored on Rotten Tomatoes. And we'll go through some of those, the big blockbusters from the past in the summer. Because we just talked about how the summer movie season has pretty much already kicked off, and it begins earlier and earlier every year. It gets earlier and earlier, but the big summer blockbuster season is about to start, and we previewed some of the stuff that we're looking forward to for this year. But now let's talk about some of the stuff that came out in the summer's past. 312-981-7200 for talk and text if you want to join us. 312-981-7200. Dan, did you think of any summer blockbusters that you recall?
You know, the one that came to mind, and I admittedly have not seen anything past two, but I know it's an epic event whenever the new one is released, but it's the Fast and Furious series.
Ah.
You know, I remember seeing the original with my friends and, you know, just, again, you know, everybody going to the theater and wanting to see it and getting amped up and, Yeah,
that was 2001, the original,
right.
2001,
then,
yeah.
That makes sense timeline-wise. So, and then, as I said, I haven't seen any other ones, but, like, I can still feel the excitement when one is coming out,
yeah.
No matter how ridiculous they are now.
So. Yeah, they are ridiculous now. The last one was good, not great. I happen to be a big fan of the Fast and Furious. Unapologetically, I am a fan. And I don't even know which one I like the most. I can't tell them apart. There was the one... I think my favorite is the one where they're dragging a giant safe behind them as they're driving down. I think that was part six, maybe. And then So I mean, but I love those movies. They're completely ridiculous. But I love them. So Esmeralda, big summertime movie that you.
I was thinking Titanic.
Oh, Titanic.
Because it had those. I mean, I think Black Panther already passed it, but
yeah. It
was box office.
People,
is crazy.
People did go and see that movie. Man, four
over
or five
and
times.
Over oh, again. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't understand that, quite frankly. And Dan,
ditto.
Of course, Dan, who I mean, I like the movie. I do. I actually think Titanic's a good movie, but it's a little long in the tooth, as you know, because it's a very long movie. But once the damn boat hits that iceberg, it kicks ass. Like the whole like last hour of the movie when the boat finally hits that iceberg is fantastic. And again, if you would like to play a drinking game that will kill you while you're watching Titanic, take a drink every time they say Jack and or Rose.
Oh boy.
Because it's like ridiculous the amount of times they say. Have you noticed that, Esmeralda? How many times they say their names?
Well, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Titanic?
No.
Oh, that's right. And Dan
refuses.
Dan has never seen it either, even though it's his favorite song.
I refuse.
Okay.
I don't want to. No.
You know, I mean, you know, it's not. You know, I don't personally think you're missing. You know, a great work of art. You
right.
know, or it's an important movie to see. But there's some cool stuff in the last hour of the movie when that boat's going down. It's pretty pretty cool.
I was just mad because everyone jumped on the Leo boat.
Oh, because you were already on the Leo boat.
I already was on it, and then everyone gets on. And
yeah, you were on the Romeo and Juliet boat.
I was even before Basketball Diaries.
Basketball Diaries, that's mm-hmm. right. That's right. Have you ever seen This Boy's Life?
Yeah.
He's so good in that. That was the first time I'd ever, well, I think the first time anybody ever not. Noticed him.
Yeah.
Was in that movie, and he was unbelievable. Just going toe-to-toe with De Niro. Mm-hmm. And then, what's he in Gilbert Grape?
That was
phenomenal
yeah.
in that movie. He's a great actor.
And then Titanic.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they discovered him there. It's like, no. He's been around, man.
I used to watch Growing Pains. Wasn't he on Growing Pains? That's the one he was on, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was Growing Pains, right?
I think so.
Not Silver Spoon. I get Silver Spoons and Growing
no.
Pains. I get those mixed up.
No, I think it was Growing Pains.
Okay. Well, the very first...
Growing Pains.
It was Growing Pains, yeah. The very first sort of quote-unquote summer blockbuster that created the summer blockbuster was Jaws. Jaws was the first movie that was released in the summer that became a monster hit, and then that became the time of year when the studios were going to release their big, you know, their big movies. And the you know, unofficially, the very first of all of the summer blockbusters was Jaws, and it remains one of the best. It remains, you know, near the top, if not at the top of the list of the greatest summer blockbusters of all time. And it created, you know, right at that time, it created the summer blockbuster that was the time to release your big tentpole movies. So Jaws, the original. All right, we got a break here, and we got the news coming up right after this. Yeah. Hi, good morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 2 to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And it's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And, right now, though, we're talking about the best ranked summer blockbusters of all time. We just previewed some of the movies that we're looking forward to this summer coming up, Colin and Eric and I. And now we're talking about some of the blockbusters of all time. And now this is from Rotten Tomatoes, where they actually just talk about, they rank them in terms of how they rated on Rotten Tomatoes. And any idea, Esmeralda, what would number one be? The number one rated... number one rated blockbuster of all time in terms of like how what they scored on Rotten Tomatoes.
Gosh, no idea.
Spielberg. It's a Spielberg movie.
E.T.
Yes.
Oh,
there it is. E.T.
Wow.
The adjusted score is 110.44%. So people like it. Yeah, that was a huge movie. That was huge, and obviously, I mean, it was one of the biggest movies ever made, and so it's you know, I mean, I haven't seen E.T. in many years. Dan, when was the last time you saw E.T.? Has it been a while?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, it's been years for me. Esmeralda, what about you?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, Eric, I believe, watches it weekly. You know what number two is of in terms of like on Rotten Tomatoes ranked? This makes me feel very happy. Dan, you're aware of what number two is.
I am, yes.
Esmeralda, why would I be very, very happy at number two? Surprised and very happy.
Is it Mad Max?
Yes, it is. Mad Max Fury Road comes in second underneath E.T. I assess, yeah. Yeah, it's the critics' consensus is, with exhilarating action, a surprising amount of narrative heft, Mad Max Fury Road brings George Miller's post-apocalyptic franchise roaring vigorously back to life. Yeah, I've seen that movie a couple times. Three on the list is, and this is, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by this, it's the highest ranking Pixar movie, obviously, because there are a bunch of Pixar movies that will be on this list, but this is the highest ranking one. And I don't know why I'm surprised by this. Esmeralda, you take a crack at it?
No idea.
Inside Out.
Is that the animated?
Yeah, Pixar.
With the kids?
It's emotions. It's inside the little girl's head,
right?
And it's about the emotions that like Mindy Kaling, Amy Poehler, Bill Hader were voices. Lewis Black was anger, shockingly. It's a beautiful movie. Have you ever seen it, Esmeralda?
I haven't.
Oh, it's another one of these movies where you're going to cry. These damn Pixar movies, man. I cried my eyes out when I saw this movie. I don't know why they do that, man. Dan, have you seen Inside Out?
I have, and I too cried, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you have daughters, too. So that, you know, that has to add a little bit something to it.
Sure,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? God, that movie killed me. Richard Kind as her imaginary friend?
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, my God. Why does Pixar do this to us all the time? Esmeralda, you're still crying over Coco. I am too.
Yeah.
Why do they do it?
I'm scared to show it to my parents because I'm going to have to watch it with them.
Oh.
And I'm like, do I want to cry again?
Yeah.
Do I?
It's such a great movie, though. Number four is Toy Story 3, speaking of crying. That's number three on the list. Number four on the list is Toy Story 3. Number five, these are all summer blockbusters. Alien, the original Alien, is critically acclaimed by everyone. It's a modern classic. Alien blends science fiction, horror, and bleak poetry into a seamless whole. And it launched Sigourney Weaver's career. That movie still holds up, man. Alien is still, that's still a very effective, scary movie. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was over at my folks' house just hanging out, and we were watching cable, and Alien was on. So I flip over to Alien, and I'm watching it with my mom, and she starts freaking out. And she's seen it before. I'm like, Mom, you've seen this movie many times. And she's like, I forgot how scary it is. And this is, and this was like daylight. You know, it's like the middle of the day. We're watching Alien on cable, and she's freaking out. Good movie, though, man. Now, you guys know that scene where John Hurt has the chest burster come out? You guys know that the actors had no idea that was going to happen.
I had heard that, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't know what was going to happen. And you can see it on the expressions on their face. You know, like when the blood shoots out and the thing comes busting out of his chest. Veronica Cartwright, who is in the movie, her reaction is just because she gets the most blood shot on her. She get, you know, like when the thing busts through his chest, blood shoots out all over the place. She gets the most of it on her face and stuff. And you could just see her completely freaking out. Like people not knowing what the hell. All the actors are like, what the hell's going on? One of the reasons why it makes it so effective. Number six on your adjusted score, great summer blockbusters. Oh, speaking of crying again, Esmeralda, Up.
Oh, boy.
God, the first 10 minutes of that movie, I don't even know what to say. You know, normally you got to wait till about 90 minutes into a Pixar movie before you start bawling your eyes out. Nope. 10 minutes in. 10 minutes into Up, I was crying. I was sobbing. Sobbing. You know that they, did you know this, Dan? That they wanted to, some of the producers, the studio was like, you can't, in that montage at the beginning when they're showing the relationship between the married couple and as they grow older and then she eventually passes. The producers, I can't remember whether it was Suits, who were like, you can't have a miscarriage in this scene. You can't do it. And so they had to fight for it. Like the director, Pete Docter, was like, no, this is really essential to the story. And, you know, it's really something that connects these two. So it's the first time, you know, like in animated movie history, there's a miscarriage in the first 5 minutes of the movie, which is like, oh my God. But God, that first 10 minutes is crazy. That was a big blockbuster too. Summer blockbuster. Of course, Star Wars was, you know, that was when, you know, like cause when Jaws came out, that became the template. But then as soon as Star Wars came out 2 years later, it was over. That was it. That was what, you know, that became the time to release these big crazy movies. Although now, as we were discussing earlier, now anytime. The biggest hit of the year so far is a movie that came out in February. I mean, Black Panther, and that's a big budget, you know, special effects laden comic book movie. So you can release these things anytime now. It's weird because the Star Wars movies were all summer movies until now. Now they're bringing them out at Christmas, well, at least the continuing chapters, because Solo's coming out obviously in a couple of weeks. But Rogue One came out in December, and the two chapters, whatever the hell they are now, 8 and 9? No, 7 and 8. 7 and 8? Yeah, 7 and 8. Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Those were both December releases, when as the original 6 Star Wars movies were all summer releases. And so they're But now they're, you know, they're doing two Star Wars movies a year now, because you're gonna get a Star Wars story every year, and then you're gonna get another chapter every year. So, and that's like the Marvel universe. 18 movies in 10 years. Is that right? Yeah, 18 movies in 10 years for Marvel. Yeah, and no sign of slowing down after the kind of money that this thing made over the weekend. $250 million. So, Esmeralda, did you see it? The Avengers movie?
No.
No, you didn't go. Okay, because I know V did.
Yeah.
Okay, and he liked it, right?
I think so. He didn't really say that he hated it or that he really loved it.
Yeah. I got to say, I would never have expected, Dan, that I would be the one out of the three of us to give it the most rave review.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I thought it was great. And, yeah. And it really, like I said, man, that the last 10 minutes, it's like, what? Like, huh? I didn't think they were going to go there, but they go there, man. And, yeah, it's very effective. Very effective. And like I said, when the director's credit comes up at the end, you hear a pin drop. People were just like, like when it was over, you're like, oh my God. So, all right. We have to break, and then we're talking more summer blockbusters. What are some of your favorite summer blockbuster movies from the past? The summer movie season is kicking off, and we want to hear from you. Best and your favorite summer blockbusters from the past. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Dan's going to give Esmeralda and I a quiz and see if we can answer some trivia questions about board games. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, and we're talking about summer blockbuster movies. Summer movie season is upon us, and we did a preview, Colin and Eric and myself, a preview of some of the titles that we're looking forward to. But now we're going back in time and talking about the best summer blockbusters of all time. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here is LJ on WGN. Hi, LJ.
What's going on, Nick?
Hey.
Hey, I was a big fan. I'm about 16, 17 years old. At that point, I was a big fan of reading, TV, and the big screen. And I had figured out that no book could be made into anything good on TV or the big screen. Two of my favorite books were The Godfather and The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pleasantly surprised when I saw them on the big screen. I didn't think it was possible to make a book into anything that was any good on the screen.
Yeah, well, you know, The Godfather and The Exorcist, they weren't summer movies, though. They came out at Christmas time.
Both of them?
Yeah, both of them did. Exorcist came out Christmas 73. Godfather came out Christmas 72.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they weren't summer. They were out in, you know, they were out long enough to be playing in theaters in the summer, because back in those days, you know, if you guys remember, movies stayed in theaters for longer than 2 weeks. Now, if you don't make a ton of money the first weekend, your movie will be gone. But that's not the way it was like in the 70s. In the 70s, movies stayed, you know, Star Wars stayed in the theaters for a year, over a year.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember standing in line for blocks to see The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And people were like falling out and running out of the theater.
Oh, yeah. No. They people passed out. People threw up.
Yeah.
They had nurses at theaters and stuff. No, it was a.
Right.
Yeah. But it was a big deal, man.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was a summer movie.
Yeah, no, it came out at Christmas 73, yeah. All right, LJ, thanks, man.
No problem.
All right. Yeah, so, you know, Esmeralda, I know you've been hearing about this movie, Hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out in June with Toni Collette. There have been people, there have been people, like, fainting during this movie now and, like, leaving. And, you know, the quote on one of the critics' quotes is that it's like this generation's Exorcist, except worse.
Jeez.
So, of course, that's the movie I'm looking forward to the most this summer is that one. I can't believe, Dan, you heard that story. Can you believe they played that trailer?
Oh, my gosh. I cannot.
You heard that, right, Esmeralda? Before Roger Rabbit. Before Peter Rabbit, they showed the trailer for Hereditary. And let me tell you something. The trailer for Hereditary is scary as hell, really creepy, and unbelievably inappropriate to show before a kid's movie. Just like, what? All right. Here's some other summer movies. How about National Lampoon's Animal House? That was the summer of 1978. Man, I'll never forget the first time I saw that movie. My dad took me to see it because at that point I was completely obsessed with Saturday Night Live, which has not changed at all. By the way, Donald Glover and Childish Gambino are the guests. Well, I should say guest and musical host. Host and musical guest. But yeah, I'll never forget it, man. I was just obsessed with SNL, and I loved John Belushi on Saturday Night Live. And so I remember my dad took me the weekend it opened to see Animal House. We went to the Harlem Cermak Theater, and I just lost my mind. I laughed throughout the entire movie. It's the best. So Animal House was scored 95.6% here. Here are a couple of other ones. Michael in Iowa says, all I can think of is Jaws and Grease, both when I was in high school. Yeah, Grease came out summer of 78 as well. Same year as Animal House. Which means that's also 40 years old. Grease is 40 years old. And so is Animal. Oh my God, Animal House is 40 years old. I can't even believe it. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin says Independence Day. Yeah, that was a big movie in 1996. Independence Day. Ghostbusters, summer of 1984. That dominated the summer of 1984. And Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles. Wow, I don't remember when Blazing Saddles. I mean, Blazing Saddles is from 1974. Yeah, that was, you know, Dan, as you know, that was a pretty good year for Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Because in 1 year, he released Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein. The same. It's like, what? two of the greatest classic comedies of all time, and he released them in 1 year? That was a strong year for him. 773 area code, summer blockbuster is definitely Batman. You know, when the original Batman came out, the Tim Burton Batman, it was everywhere. Do you guys remember? You guys were young, though, when it came out. But do you remember the hype and how it dominated the summer of... It was summer of 89.
Yeah, I mean, it was everywhere.
Yeah. And you made a ton of money, too. Esmeralda, do you remember? Were you... do you remember that? Or you were too young, right?
Not really. I was five.
Yeah, because it was insane. It was insane. It was everywhere, and people... It was hyped like you wouldn't believe. And I thought it turned out well. All right, some other summer blockbusters. Terminator 2 Judgment Day, July 1991. Huge, huge movie. It came out around the same time. I preferred Point Break. Point Break was, for me, a better summer blockbuster. And it was at the time when Catherine Bigelow was married to James Cameron. And I was like, hey, you know, Terminator 2 might be making all the money, but his wife made a better movie. Point Break's a better movie than Terminator 2. Blade Runner. Now, here's the thing about Blade Runner. It bombed when it came out. People hated it when it came out. It had all this hype behind it, obviously, because Harrison Ford had just, you know, Raiders was the year before. Star Wars, obviously. This was a big sci-fi movie, and everybody thought it was going to be like this action-packed sort of Raiders in space, and it's nothing like that at all. But people forget Blade Runner didn't make any money when it came out. It tanked. It didn't start to get a following until years later. But yeah, Blade Runner came out in the summer of 1982. Midnight Run was in the summer of 1988. That's one of my remote droppers, Dan. You know that.
Yeah.
Whenever Midnight Run is on cable, Charles Grodin, Robert De Niro, I'm going to watch it. That's one of my favorite movies. Spider-Man 2. I know you didn't like Spider-Man 2, Dan, but I remember
I, do not.
I went to the screening of it with my friend Mike View, and we got out of the movie, and we were walking, saw the Piper's Alley, and we were walking back to the car, and he, at that time I didn't have a cell phone in 2004, because I didn't get one until 2007. So, but I said, you got to give me your phone right now, and I had to call Oaken immediately. Like, we just got out of the theater, walking to the car, I was like, man, I just saw Spider-Man 2, you're going to lose your mind. And he did. So, and then one of my favorites of all time, obviously, Risky Business, summer of 1983. That was a game changer for me. So, all right, we'll have a few more of these, but we're going to take a break here. We got the news coming up. We'll talk more summer blockbusters. If you would like to join us, we would love to hear from you. But we're going to break, and when we come back after the news, Dan's going to give Esmeralda and I a quiz on how well we know our board games. That's coming up. My dad's going to tell a joke, and we'll wrap up the summer blockbuster talk as well. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. The news is next.